I'd like to call to order the meeting of the Carson City Airport Authority for Wednesday, February 18th. We're in the Carson City Community Center Sierra Room. Can I have a roll call, please?
Chairperson Williams.
Present.
Vice Chair Hutter.
Present.
Member Griffin.
Present.
Member Posick.
Present.
Member Shirk.
Present.
Member Stotts.
Present.
Member White.
Present.
A quorum's present.
Thank you. All rise for the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We have minutes for approval, and we have the minutes from the meeting of Wednesday, January the 21st. Are there any additions or corrections to these minutes?
No.
Okay. Then the minutes stand as submitted. We would need a motion for approval.
So moved.
We have a motion.
Second.
Motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, if there be any? Seeing none, the motion carries unanimously. Item D, modification of the agenda. If we're expediting things, I'm going to move a couple of items around since Mr. Hahn from the Civil Air Patrol has told me that it's only going to be a couple of minutes, and rather than keep him sitting through what's probably be a lengthy budget discussion, I'm going to have him go first. And the item to discuss expanding the amount of money for the open house, I'm going to move to after all the agenda items regarding the budget, since there is a couple of budget issues that may impact our ability to make any modifications to the budget. With that, item number two, briefing to announce the formation of a new Civil Air Patrol squadron at the Carson City Airport. Mr. Hahn.
Thank you, Mr. Williams. Good evening. Very briefly, after a lot of hard work and working with the airport manager, Tim Rowe, we are standing up a Civil Air Patrol squadron at the Carson City Airport. I wasn't here then, but I understand it's been almost 20 years since there was a unit there. I've always been very big into community service, and I believe bringing the Civil Air Patrol back to Carson City is a huge event. There'll be more information coming forth. Mostly tonight was just to say hi. This is who we are. There'll be an open house planned for March 25th, and hopefully as fast as things moving at that time, we'll also be presenting the unit charter at that time. So I would like to make sure that the board knows that they would be most welcome to attend at any time, and we meet on the second and fourth Wednesdays of each month. If you have any questions, I'll be happy to answer them. But
any questions for Mr. Hahn? Thank you, and welcome to the airport.
One quick one. So do I understand that is this a movement of the squadron from Minnetonka at Douglas County, or is this actually an additional squadron?
This is an additional squadron. What we had was a large number or fair number of people from the Minden Douglas County unit that actually live closer to Carson, a group of people from the Reno Composite Squadron that live closer to Carson, and a fair amount of new blood has started to come in quite rapidly. So that's how the squadron's forming up. So it will be an additional squadron in the wing. We'll have 16 squadrons in Nevada. So, and hopefully an airplane will move here shortly.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you again, Mr. Hahn. Welcome to the airport. Let's move to what is shown as item one on the agenda, discussion and possible action to approve the Carson City Airport Authority tentative budget for fiscal year 2015-2016, and briefing on the budget components, discussion or recommendation for the final budget for fiscal year of 2015-16, and to determine if a budget workshop is required. Mr. Rowe, Mr. Posick, Ms. Cohn. Beth.
Thank you. For the record, Beth Cohn Cole. I just want to point out one change. On your second page, I didn't put the full amount of the FAA grant expenses. I only put your share. So That bottom line obviously needs to change for your actual expenses. So let me just walk you through what this is, and my intent wasn't necessarily to go through all this detail, but I'm happy to do that. What my intent was to give you enough time, if you want to schedule a budget workshop, to kind of give you an overview and let you think about it, and then we can do that, or we could do it now. So the first column is your actual year-to-date through January 2015. The second column is an annualized or an estimated where right now it looks like you'll end up for the year. The third column is your fiscal year 15 budget. And the last column is your estimated, that second column compared to the budget. And the last column is just is based on information we know, such as that property tax revenue is projected to be down. They billed out, I believe, $195,000. So that's why this number is lower than what we budgeted in the current year. I don't know if the prior year you actually collected some back assessments or something, or there's some changes. But based upon Carson City gave us, that's lower. So I'm just going to briefly tell you what's changed from one year to the next in your budget. So the property tax revenue went down. I was asked to increase the miscellaneous for the barbecue, so that's increased tentatively. The audit is not going to be a single audit, so you're going to have some savings there, so I decreased that expense. And to round to $80,000, I rounded your conference expense. And let me tell you the concept of the second page in the middle, the net ordinary income at $80,000. The concept is that you want to generate revenue to accumulate cash to cover your 6.25%, is that right, 6.25, of your share match on those FAA grants. And in the past, that $80,000, you can increase it if you want, but that's been the kind of the number that you use to accumulate each year. So when you do projects, you've accumulated some money to cover that match. And you only have one project going, based on what I know right now, for 16. And the cost is about $167,000, and the FAA grant revenue is about $150,000. And rock materials, I just put 10 in there. You know, just start the conversation. But you can see so far this year, you're at $25,000. I just used the same number that you had from last year. So that's just, and just to let you know where you're at right now, a financial performance. Whether you want to review it in detail now, whether you want to schedule a budget workshop, just to let you know that those options are out there.
Okay, questions and comments, and whether we think we ought to really dive into this tonight with 24 hours to review it, or do we want to do a workshop? Morris.
I think a workshop is in order. That's my list of questions.
I was going to comment. I've got about 15 questions here myself, so I think I would concur that maybe the best way to do this is all dig into it, get some additional background information, maybe ask you a couple of quick questions tonight so that we would know what additional things we're going to need and possibly schedule and then consider scheduling the workshop. Anybody have any different thoughts on that?
I was just going to say, and if you could send those questions, anything you could do in advance would to me or to Tim, that would speed up the process for everybody.
Would it be better if, rather than we start listing off questions tonight, if we were all to just put them on an email and send them over?
Is that all right with you? I just think it'd be easier because I didn't expect this to be the budget workshop. I expected we would do one. I just wanted to kind of give you something to look at to start the thought process. What do you as a board want to do? And what changes that you want. But I don't necessarily know all the numbers without having the backup on my computer.
Okay. One question, though, just for purposes of when we do the analysis here. On your actual July to January and your annualized, is that simply just 7/12 moved forward, or is it based on what we anticipate actual expenditures and revenues to be in the remaining 5 months?
When I knew, I corrected that number. If I didn't know, I just annualized it. So, for instance, I looked to see how many payrolls had had been put through the system, and I knew how many more were coming up, so I calculated that. So I did adjust. It's not just a flat, you know, take the 7 and divide it by 7 times 12. But there, you know, there's things I don't know, and that's what your management team is for. So if all the, I'll just use, so open house, for instance, only had $180. But I knew you planned to do it, so I put the full budget amount in. But if there, for instance, on conferences, there's $555. I didn't know if they're going to any more conferences. That's something management needs to let me know. So go through this detail.
Any other general questions? Carl.
Sure. So I think, without jumping the gun, but assuming that we're probably going to be going to a workshop on the budget, since you're here, Beth, I think, you know, certainly for my knowledge, and probably others have the same question, it would be really great to get a review from you as the knowledgeable one around the reserve account and the sort of warning sign that you sent out with regard to where we might end up with regard to our ability to pay out our matching funds for grants and not trip the tripwire we have with regard to management of the reserves and the audit, and the, you know, and the audit finding that we had in the past. It's certainly an area that's kind of Byzantine to me, and I'm just trying to come up to speed. It would be great if you could give us, in a nutshell, sort of what the rules of the road are there.
So if you look on the second page, the total expense, you've budgeted $351,000. And right now it looks like you'll be at about rounded $290,000. So you're not at a position where you're overspending your budget. And it's primarily in the area of legal fees that are down, and that really depends on what's going on and how much time Steve has to take. So if you look up on the estimated variances, there's $32,000 of variance in legal that you haven't spent. Doesn't look like you're going to spend based on where you're at today. I mean, something could happen tomorrow. But so right now, it doesn't look like there's any issues on an audit finding based on where you're tracking.
Okay.
And
so,
then on the, can I do one more thing?
Yeah.
So then the other issue becomes, are you have to watch what FAA projects you do, because although you receive lease revenue in advance, that's recognized over the life of the lease. So you have the cash in the bank for two leases that you recognize that revenue over a long period of time. So you don't want to end up with a negative fund balance, because that would be an illegal act in accordance with NRS. So that's the fine line, is making sure that you have enough revenue and fund balance to cover your 6.25%. So Tim had asked me if you doubled up a project in 1 year, do I think there would be enough fund balance to cover that? And I did not think, based on where you're at right now, that you would stay in a positive fund balance. So that's what you have to watch for. How much can we spend each year on those FAA projects?
Okay, yeah, that's going to come up in a little bit when we get into the ACIP. And the concern there is the match, because the FAA is talking about, you know, it'd be more efficient and from a spending and timing basis to do phase one and two at the same time, which will mean that we'll have to spend more sooner rather than later. And so at this point, were that to occur, our fund balance is not adequate, because we can't draw down from the reserve account more than what is, you know, allocated in any 1 year.
What you're recognizing as revenue, yeah.
Right.
So if I get some exact numbers for the budget meeting, I can look at what your, show you what your cash balance is, what your fund balance is. We can project that 80,000 profit that you would add to it and see where you'd end up. Now, there are benefits. If in 2015 you end up where we budgeted $83,000 profit on that second page, and you end up with that true $152,000, well, I didn't include that extra $70,000. Plus, down below, if you end up with extra $15,000 in rock sales, you know, that's a plus. So there are some things that will, you know, have a positive impact on that. But since I didn't know where you'd be, but I can fine tune that number for that budget workshop too.
And I had one other. It's really an administrative question, or maybe it's a question you'll have to research. But Given that a number of these projects that we do with federal funding and match money, these projects have a 20, 30-year, you know, life expectancy. Given that we are doing something today that would be utilizing that money over the space of 30 years rather than 1 year, is there an administrative mechanism whereby we can request a variance or an adjustment to policy in the city's budgeting process when, in fact, we're taking an action today that is a positive impact on the airport for 20 or 30 years? Is there a vehicle that exists for us to do that, and if so, how do we access it?
Well, you know, years ago, maybe it was 5 years ago, we went and met with taxation when we were concerned about ending up with a negative fund balance when it really, really went low, to warn them that it might end up being, you know, still would be an audit finding because it's still an illegal act regarding NRS, but trying to explain it to them. You know, I would suggest another meeting of that type with taxation would be in order with their budget analyst and maybe with Terry Rubal, whoever the financial assessment person is, because they're the ones who watch it because they don't want to come in and take over the airport. That's the risk.
In other words, we have to initiate that action.
I just think a proactive meeting with them to discuss it and see if they have any recommendations, because the law is the law. I think it's going to be a finding either way, but what would their corrective action be if you ended up in the red if you explained it? But I don't think they can say, well, you know, it's okay because it's the law is the law. But the question is, what would that corrective action plan be? And to be proactive, to let them know before you make a final decision.
Can I ask a question?
Certainly,
so
Steve.
Back to the prepaid leases. Is there a way you can identify to the authority the amount that they should be pigeonholing and saying, even though, you know, when we get our monthly report from the treasurer that says we have this much cash, this amount of it is actually prepaid and should not be touched?
Yeah, it's reflected in your financial statements. I can show Tim where to find that. It's absolutely there.
And then one other question, too, and I asked Tim for this, but now I realize that you had actually been providing them in the past. But in prior years, this is the first year where I've seen where you've done this annualization, which totally makes sense to me because now we're using more current numbers to project our budget. In prior years, you gave us the last full year, and that was a comparison column. And I'm just wondering if that might be helpful to these guys so they have yet another sanity check. So when they're looking at the budget, they can say, okay, the last full year, 12 months, we had this.
Absolutely. I didn't think of that. Yep. I can add that.
Yeah.
And that can go out in advance for you.
And I think just to that end, given that the reserve balance is such a critical piece for us to watch in policymaking, I think that any time that we pull up, an income statement, it would be great to have the balance sheet as well, because keeping an eye on that aspect, which is that's nice that there's our cash balance, how much of it is really available given the fraction that's prepaid leases, that's just something I think we always want to have in front of us.
Yeah, and that's in there very easily for him to print for you. I can show you where if you need help.
One more general question, but so if somehow the Airport Authority were to build up a larger savings, in other words, have more money at the end of each year so they could build up a chunk of money, they would run less risk than of bumping into that legal requirement that they'd have a negative fund balance. Is that
correct?
Yeah. Okay.
You have to have 4% of your minimum fund balance, 4% of expenditures without grants.
Thought we took a good stab at that last year, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
But that fund balance is inclusive of the prepaid leases? You're allowed to count the prepaid leases or not?
No, that prepaid leases are, that represents like liability because it's not your revenue yet.
Right.
So it's without those leases. That's the problem.
Morris?
I want to bring your attention to an action at the legislature, BDR 384. being brought forward by PERS. They're going to be asking for an increase in the premiums. It's still in BDR form, so we don't know what that increase is going to be, but rumor has it out of PERS that it's going to be at least 2%. So you want to keep that in mind when you're building this budget for PERS.
Okay, they gave me a warning that it's going to go up to, right now we're paying 13 and a quarter,
mm-hmm.
and it's supposed to go to 14 and a quarter July 1st.
Just 1%. Okay.
That's what I was told. 2% I haven't heard about.
Okay. That's, of course, being BDR, it's all rumor, but that's the rumor I've heard is 2%.
Any other questions for Beth? Okay. We need to discuss the special meeting for a workshop. How long do we have to notice this? And it should occur prior to next month's meeting, correct?
The tentative budget's actually not due until April. It has to be approved by April 15th. So we could do it at next month's meeting. Anytime you want to schedule it, I don't think we have to notice it other than an agenda. And we do the regular 3 to 4 day.
Right. It's an open meeting under the open meeting law. So just like we notice these meetings, we would notice that workshop meeting.
So then we could simply do this during the March meeting?
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes.
And make it, try to keep the meeting down to that item. Or if we start to get a lot of items for next month's agenda, then maybe we do need to set it aside, because I would imagine that as the last workshop, I think we spent almost 3 hours in that last workshop session.
Yeah, I believe because we're not really changing that much in the budget this year, with just a few items that we're making adjustments on, I really don't think it'll take that much time, but we can do it before the meeting. Whatever day you feel you can, you'd like me to schedule it.
What date is next month's meeting?
March 18th.
Which is, I have to be out of town on the 19th and 20th, so I just wanted to make sure I was here for that. Okay. I guess that's all right. Anybody else have a problem with just doing it at next month's regular meeting?
Should more time be allocated for the meeting as a consequence?
Our meeting starts and it has no end time.
Well, if we anticipate that, it'll make the pain seem less.
Can we do it over at the airport? Because that way, if there is a question that I can look it up in the computer or something, it might make it a little bit easier.
You mean holding at the terminal building?
Yeah. Is that all right?
Yeah, just... we'll talk to tomorrow and get it scheduled. We have to have it because it has to be recorded.
If possible.
Okay.
Either way, I'll figure it out.
Okay. Well, then we need a motion for... No, we don't, because we're just going to do it on next month's meeting. Okay. Any further discussion of the item?
So can I just say one thing? So I'm going to add the last year's full year for this worksheet. I'll send you a balance sheet. I'll summarize what your cash is that's restricted still, so you know that. Any other changes in format that you want?
No, I think it was extremely helpful to know the answer to the question that Guy asked, which was in the annualization, was it simply straight-lined, or where possible, was it using knowledge? And that was very helpful.
Okay. And I think, it's my limited knowledge, so management, Tim, you really should go through each of those line items, like on the conference, if you have something scheduled or there's something else I don't know, I just need, or if I've overstated because I did do a 7, divide by 7 months times 12, let me know so we can make this more accurate.
Okay. Yeah, the only other thing that I have, I had a conference in the end of January. I'm under budget for the rest of the year. The only other thing is Nevada Airports Association, and that's not very much.
Okay, so but I didn't include that. I just left that amount the same. So those type things you need to let me know so I'm giving accurate info. just go back through it.
I'll get that.
Okay. All right, thank you.
And also, Beth, just to add to that, those of us with questions are going to put them into an email, send them to Tim, and Tim will forward them to you. That's the best way to do it?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Okay. All members with questions, please summarize the questions, put them in an email to Tim, and then we'll have those sent to Beth, and that way also it will probably be a good idea prior to the meeting if those questions were summarized and the whole board had everybody's questions, and that, you know, will make the analysis and debate over the budget that much more productive.
Am I allowed to respond, to put them all in one email, put the responses based on what we know, and send that out? Is that all right?
That's okay. The only caution is don't get into a running dialogue with Beth where everybody's on the email stream, because then we're kind of having a meeting without meeting the open meeting law. But certainly Beth sends you emails with answers to all the questions. You can certainly individually email her back, and she can individually
I would suggest just for purposes of coordination to make sure we don't inadvertently do that, everybody just respond to Tim and don't hit reply all. So that way any responses, if there's a dialogue back and forth, we keep it all from through Tim and Tim to Beth, so there's only one conduit.
And then when whoever puts together this kind of master list of questions and answers, you can always update the answers for any sidebar dialogues that have occurred, so that when you finally give them to the entire board, they know what other discussions took place on that. So if it was an issue they were going to ask about, we don't have to recreate the wheel.
Okay, I'll clarify through you to make sure I handle that properly. And if we could set a date, it would really be beneficial for me because it is tax season. So I'd like for the next 2 weeks to be able to respond to those questions, or at least to get those questions and make those changes you want, so we can get it out by the end of February, you know, first week in March, so that you have time to review them before the meeting. Okay.
Can we request that everybody get their questions to Beth before next Wednesday?
Thank you.
Okay. I think that takes care of that item. The open house, we're going to move back, and briefing's done. Discussing possible action. Let's keep the budget and ACIP items. I'm going to pull the removal of the aircraft back to after we get done with these other two budget items. The discussion and possible action to approve the revised airport capital improvement program for fiscal years 2016 through 2020. Jim.
Okay, so this is a item that came up from last month's meeting where I had reported that we submitted a certain ACIP to, we actually presented an ACIP to the FAA at a meeting in December of 2014. After discussion about certain projects with them, the ACIP had some minor adjustments, and that actually got submitted, but it was recommended that we go ahead and get that ACIP approved by the airport authority to make it official. So specifically what changed from what was presented to the FAA at our meeting and what was actually submitted was that in 2016 we moved the obstruction lights from being funded in 2015 to being funded in 2016, and that was the big change in the ACIP.
Questions for Jim? Seeing none, and since there's no one in the audience, public comment is not necessary. One question. In terms of approving the ACIP and the note we just had from Beth that we might not be able to meet our match, is there any issue, Steve, with the fact that we're approving something that there is the potential that we can't pay for?
No, there really isn't, because the ACIP is basically our wish list to the FAA on what we would like to do. The FAA, then we actually file a grant application to receive the grants, and if at that point we know we don't have the matching funds, then we probably wouldn't make the grant application and put ourselves in that situation. Or if we make the grant application because we think we have the funds, and then when the grant application offer comes back to us, we realize we don't have the funds, then we don't have to accept the grant. So they should run on separate tracks. We've never been in the situation where we were offered a grant and didn't have the matching money. We have been in a situation before where we were offered a grant and we turned it down, but the circumstances weren't because of finances. It was because they gave us a grant to resurface the runway. This was before the runway realignment. And then after they gave us the grant, they told us, well, wait a second, you guys really should do a new master plan and figure out if that's where you want your runway to be. And as a result of that communication, we actually responded back to them that we were going to decline to accept the grant and instead go do the study. So we haven't been in the situation yet where a grant offer was made to us and we didn't have the money, but it could happen. Hopefully it won't happen, but it could happen. So, no, those should run independent.
Any other questions on the matter?
I guess one, and that is that if my memory serves from the last meeting when we talked about moving the obstruction light funding to 2016, that wouldn't necessarily slow down the obstruction light construction, provided we could pay the full boat of the $25,000 and float the cost until the money came in from the FAA in 16. Is that still the plan?
Yes, that's correct.
Which means that we could have a $25,000 overspend, because that's an unbudgeted item, correct?
I think we voted to put it in there, didn't we? I don't remember how.
Yeah, that was voted in to expend the money. So if it comes down to it, we can do a budget augmentation. But we can't do that till the summer anyway.
But we have to have the cash to do the budget augmentation, and that's the question. So I don't think we're going to know that until we get done with this analysis of our current spending and our current forecast of real revenue. So you've answered the question. Anybody else have additional questions for Jim or Tim on this item? Then we stand in need of a motion.
I do have something to mention. Is that the spreadsheet that you want to approve is dated 12/16/2014.
Of the two spreadsheets, it's the second one. They're titled the same.
They just have different dates and actually different amounts.
I'm ready to make a motion. Okay. Morris?
I move we approve the ACIP for fiscal year 2016 to 2020 as presented and dated as 12/16/2014.
We have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Those opposed, if there be any? Seeing none, the motion carries unanimously. Discussion and possible, I'm going to go to item six now on your agenda, discussion and possible action to authorize the chairman to accept a grant offer from the FAA in the amount of $150,000 for the design of the North Apron reconstruction project. Mr. Clegg, Mr. Takis.
Okay, well, a grant application has been submitted to the FAA in the amount of the grant offer of $150,000, and the matching funds would be $10,000 for a total of $160,000. So the action item here is to just do that, authorize the chairman to accept that grant when it happens to come in. Everything's in place. We just need authorization to accept the grant.
And this is just per the last times, because we never have enough time to meet the, get it before the city council and all that sort of stuff. The only question, since I'm the one who has to sign it, is do we have the matching funds?
Yes, we have the matching funds for that.
Okay. So let the record reflect we do have the matching funds. Okay. Any further questions or discussion on this matter? Seeing none, then we stand in need of a motion.
Okay. I'll make a motion. I move we approve the acceptance of a grant offer from the FAA in the amount of $150,000 for the design of the North Apron Reconstruction Project.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed, if there be any? Seeing none, the motion carries unanimously. Okay, back to item number four, discussion possible action to seek removal and disposal of the derelict and abandoned aircraft on the Carson City Airport. Tim?
Okay, last year, we, instead of playing musical airplanes with these derelict and abandoned airplanes that were on Sterling Air's ramp, we moved them up to an area off of Bravo near where the albatrosses were parked. Now, we do receive fees, tie-down fees from the albatrosses, and I'm charging, although I haven't got an invoice because I don't know who to invoice, for these derelict airplanes at $90 per month. As you can see from the paperwork that I submitted from Sterling Air, we can remove this Grumman albatross, the first one. We don't even have to talk about it because as far as the airport is concerned, Yvette Weaver is current on the tie-down lease for her albatross. The other three aircraft are the problems, and those we need to do something about. They are not airworthy. I don't know if they could ever be airworthy again, but we need to do something about disposing of these, putting them up for auction, and go through the motions. And that's what that was the reason for this agenda item, to go through the process to get rid of these aircraft. I do understand that certified letters have to be mailed out. I also know that we will not have, we're not able to deliver those because all certified letters that have been written up to date have not been returned or have been returned unopened. So that's, we're going to have to jump through that hoop, but we're going to have to do something about getting rid of these planes.
Questions for Tim?
So if I understand correctly, Tim, the three aircraft in question were tenants of Sterling Air on their leasehold from the airport?
Yes, they were parked in their tie-downs. We moved the aircraft to facilitate the construction of the phase one through phase three. We didn't want to be moving them around the ramp, so we just parked them off of Bravo. And that's why that they're still up there, and I see no reason to move them from there until we can dispose of them.
Okay, so we've mentioned a couple times until we dispose of them, until we take some action. And I guess the first question I just want to frame this up with is, why is this the airport's issue? This seems to be a financial matter between Sterling Air and some delinquent tenants of theirs. And you know, not to be flip, but there's a part of me that asked the question, and when the ramp construction was complete, why didn't we just tow the airplanes right back over to Sterling Air and move along? You know, it's it's really, in my mind, not clearly our business to be getting involved in this, and it's not our responsibility.
I could agree with that. You know, I hadn't thought about it that way, but yeah, we can. I can agree with that. We can move them back over there.
Just my view on it, just as we open this up.
I would say I share Carl's opinion in that it looks like I was under the impression initially that these were airport tenants in airport tie-downs and that they were delinquent with us. They're not ours at all. They never were ours. Their aircraft that came to Sterling for maintenance and or whatever didn't get handled, and hence our – so they're really not ours at all, and they're not our – we really have no jurisdiction over it.
That's correct. I think I just simply inherited them.
They're costing the airport money, and the fact that they're occupying the space that otherwise could be leased out. Is that the only encumbrance they have?
Not where they're at now, but at Sterling's ramp, yes. But you're right; we should just move them back onto Sterling's ramp and let him deal with it, because they were his tie-down tenants.
They are not now, nor were they ever airport tenants. They were Sterling tenants.
That's correct.
Okay. Steve?
Just to chime in, from a legal standpoint, we can't do a lien sale because of somebody else's bill. We could only proceed with a lien sale for a bill for storage. Now, it sounds like from the description, we've actually stored them for about a year and a half since they were moved off of the Sterling Air ramp, but we have not, if I'm understanding correctly, we have never sent bills to these people for the storage.
I sent certified letters last summer, never received a reply. Two of the certified letters came back unopened.
What did you communicate in the certified letters?
That they were due tie-down fees. And that's all I could say, because I didn't have any other information. And I went with the I went to the FAA website to get with the tail number type of aircraft, and they're not even on tax rolls at Carson City, so they're just completely abandoned.
If I could, November 4305 Papa is currently carried on the FAA database with the state line address that's indicated here in the Sterling communication. The other two said records not found.
That's correct. The one in state line has never returned a certified letter.
Legally, can you move them? Suppose they're damaged when you move them, are you legally responsible for them?
Yes.
I guess the other question is, what was the plan? Were you going to just leave them there indefinitely? Was that what you were going to do?
I had no plan. All I wanted to do is get them out of the way until we can finish the construction.
And then there are other airplanes there. There's another Albatross there. Is that one being charged rent and paying rent?
Yes. There's one Albatross that is owned by a gentleman in Texas. He pays $90 a month. Yvette Weaver pays her $90 a month. And the other white Albatross and an S2 is owned by Cactus Air Force, and they are paying tie-downs.
It seems to me there's four little airplanes over there. There's what looks to be a Geronimo or an Apache. There's a Mooney with no motor. There's some motor glider thing, one of those Grobes, I think they are. And then there's what looks to be either an Archer or a Dakota or something like that, a Piper single.
There was a little beach Sundowner.
Okay, that's what it is.
And I don't know the story. Steve Posick can probably fill in on the Mooney. I don't know that much about what's going on, but I allowed him to park it up there for a little while.
Okay, that's not one of the airplanes in question.
No, that's
it's just over there temporarily for. But again, it's not a Carson City Airport tenant. It's somebody else's.
Yes, that's Carson Aviation Services was handling that aircraft.
Steve.
Okay,
We towed them over there, like Tim said, for the airport. I can't speak for Sterling Air, but I'd kind of like to leave them there because I'd sure hate to have some junk sitting on our pretty new ramp. Yes, we need to get done with it, but it would probably be Mr. Lewis's job to do so. As far as the Mooney, the owner has run into financial difficulties, and I was allowing him to keep the airplane on the ramp until he got money to finish rebuilding it. He's had the engine serviced, and we could mount it, but why put it in there and let it sit out in the rain? So we haven't. That airplane can be moved back, but it's just a convenience thing to let them sit where they are.
So then, basically, then either Sterling or Carson Aviation Services is essentially leasing tie-down space up on Brava. Is that what we're suggesting happen rather than leaving them as derelicts?
No, they're derelicts as far as I'm concerned, because Steve Lewis has sent certified letters to them all. Have we taken the next step? No. Do we need to take the next step? Yes. But as far as Sterling Air, I can't do anything about that. I can only tow the airplanes back if he so says so. And they're, in my opinion, yeah, we could pay the airport, but it's out of sight, out of mind over there, and it just keeps the junk off the ramp in front of the terminal building.
But we got complaints from the tenants over there that they don't want to look at the junk either.
So I think it's less a matter of really where they sit and whether the airport, as their new tie-down host, is or isn't getting paid. In fact, in a certain way, I think it's almost better that we not entangle ourselves by billing for that tie-down space as their new landlords, because then it attaches us to all of this. I keep coming back to this idea that there's some past due monies that Mr. Lewis feels he's due on behalf of Sterling Air. Okay. Any pursuit of that, I think, needs to be Sterling Air's problem. But we do have this business, if we do let them remain, maybe with the exception of the Mooney, that seems to be a little bit of a different case. But these three airplanes, if we let them remain there, we're going to inherit them if we haven't already. And at the end of the day, when the time comes when we say we really want to get rid of these things, then it does magically become our problem to chase these people down, foreclose on these airplanes in some way, and then get rid of them, which is sort of why, you know, there's a part of me that is before, you know, everyone forgets exactly why they're where they are. We, you know, again, recognizing the liability that we can engage ourselves in any time, and yourself, for Carson Aviation Services, in moving those airplanes on behalf of the airport, on behalf of anyone, you know, so something happens, you know, there could be a liability. But getting them magicked back over to the Sterling Air ramp, aesthetics aside, in a way is a certain tidiness to it, because it puts the focus back on you know, where it needs to be. You know, they kind of should have gone back there, my opinion, when the construction was complete, just because it puts the ball clearly back in their tenant or their landlord's court and those tenants of Sterling's.
I agree. I think there are no changes, I'll instruct Sterling that they'll have to take those airplanes back.
I was just going to add, you know, Sterling can do the lien sale process just like anybody else can. And, in fact, if they're the ones who are owed money, they're the ones who have to do it. We can't do one for their debts. We just can't do it. We're not legally entitled to do that. So I think what you're recommending makes sense.
Well, Tim mentioned that there's no tax record. They're not on the rolls or anything. It seems that the tax people are kind of lax here, too, because they could have, you know, if they were on the tax rolls, they could be collecting money for it. The guy who owns the Grove, for instance, he lives in Carson City. His business is in Carson City. He has a wireless service, which is it covers the Reno Spanish Springs area, but not the Carson City area. So he is around. Now, if the tax people knew that that airplane had been sitting here for 5 years not being taxed, then it seems to me they could probably put a little pressure on and maybe get some action.
The only thing I would comment on that is if that aircraft at some point in time was based someplace and it came here for maintenance, it's not taxable if it's here for maintenance, even if it's broken down and stuck here for 2 years. Can't tax it because it's there to be fixed. So if, unless it was based at Carson City and he was avoiding taxes, then the tax people could do something. But I don't see any problem if you want her to contact the tax folks.
Well, I don't think it was brought here for maintenance. The owner, Robert Andrews, died, and I believe his son inherited it and could have cared less about it. This is what I have been able to figure out so far. So I don't believe it was brought here for maintenance. It was brought here to park it someplace.
Am I missing something here? It seems to me we're paying for a makeover for a lady we're never going to get a chance to have a date with. I don't know that it's ever going to make us any money. The process by which we would have to go through is going to be more of a liability than an asset to us. And other than the aesthetics that's been mentioned before, is there any other thing here that I'm missing associated with these airplanes?
No, I think that to the extent Sterling Air has a bill that's due on these and they're able to sell it at a lien sale, they may be able to recover a part or maybe all of their bill. I mean, I don't know what the value of these aircraft are.
Once again, Steve and Sterling would realize all the profit from any association or sale or transfer. We the airport wouldn't get anything, would they?
Right. The airport wouldn't get anything. I mean, in a perfect world, the airport would get some money for the time that these airplanes sat on airport tie-down area, but I tend to agree with Member Hutter, which is it's probably not worth the headache of marching down that path. But technically, the statute doesn't provide for any kind of profit. The statute says if you go to a lien sale, you're entitled to keep your portion that's owed to you, and the rest of it needs to go, if you sell it for more than it's your bill, the rest of it needs to go to the legal owner.
Which we don't have a portion.
So we don't have a cut of that pie, right?
So do we need to just simply let Tim handle this administratively, or do we need a motion directing Tim to handle it administratively?
I think because we were looking for a motion on where to proceed, I think it would be appropriate to have a motion. And so if the motion is to direct the airport manager to return the aircraft or arrange for return of the aircraft back to Sterling Air and have whoever moved them in the first place move them back, that would probably be an appropriate motion to make.
We are in need of, if there's any no further discussion, then we need a motion.
Can we just say so moved as to what Steve said?
I make a motion that we direct him to return the airplanes to Sterling Aviation and divest ourselves of the problem.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
The motion is made and seconded. Is there any further discussion? Seeing none.
One comment. I just think that before we plunge ahead, the question to be asked is, in moving the aircraft back, just making sure that we understand that there, I mean, I can't imagine there's a lot of exposure, but moving the airplanes back does present, I guess, some minimal risk to the airport for damaging the junk as it's being moved back. Is that a negligible point?
It's theoretically that's true. That's why I suggest whoever moved them should move them back. They're probably the best position to do it. I don't know if that was Tim or if that was Steve or whoever it was.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It was probably
El Aero. El Aero, wasn't it?
No.
It was Sterling Air had them moved. It was Carson Aviation Services that actually moved the aircraft. And I believe that that's the way to appropriately handle it again.
In other words, just tell Sterling Air you need to move them back and let Sterling Air make those arrangements.
Exactly.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
So do we need to amend the motion?
I don't think so. I think the motion was
It's adequate the way it is?
Yeah.
Okay, we have a motion. Do we have a second? Yeah, we have a second. We had a comment. Any further discussion or further comments? Seeing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, if there be any? Seeing none, the motion carries unanimously. I believe that takes care of, oh no, we still have the open house. Item two on the budget, discussion and possible action to approve the budget to the open house budget, or augmentation to the open house budget to provide matching funds to open house donations not to exceed $5,000. Tim?
I've done a lot of research and have discovered alternative ways of putting on the open house at minimal cost. My hope is that I will be able to get some donations to help augment the cost. However, to be truthful, I don't believe that this matching funds would be necessary. I would like to ask that the authority not approve this, deny this request to enlarge the budget of the open house. I would like to try to see what I've done so far. I think we can make it work. And I don't believe that even the $5,000 that I put in the item is running up against our budget abilities this year. So I'm requesting that the airport authority deny this request.
Any further questions, Morris?
What line item is the open house money on?
It's under open house.
6280.
The last year, the airport authority budgeted $5,000 for the open house, and I'm going to be pretty close to that, but I believe with the additional donations and the ability to charge vendors, I believe that I will be able to handle this just fine. I have like flyers and things like that. I actually went to the Visitors Bureau and they're going to print them up for free. So that's a savings of $500 or $600 right there.
Steve? I'm just thinking out loud here, but it might be helpful when we're doing the budget meeting next month, if you could break down the costs so everybody could see what it costs to do the open house, because I think that is a little bit of a mystery. We just don't know what it costs, and you do, so, yeah.
Further questions or comments for Tim? Steve?
I would recommend that you actually do the motion that Tim has recommended, which is to deny the request, in large part because it was somebody else who came up and asked for this agenda item and asked for action on it. So it's not like an internal thing for us where we just let it go.
I planned on that.
Does motion that tables this $5,000 then become a credit to the variance?
No, it has nothing to do with it. This was just an additional augmentation that was requested at the last meeting to do a match of any donations that came in up to, and I actually limited that to $5,000. But I think that after doing all the research, like I said, I don't believe that we are going to need it.
So if this had gone forward, what we would end up with theoretically is a $15,000 open house budget, the $5,000 in the budget now, $5,000 of contributions from outside parties, and an extra $5,000 that we would match those with.
If I was able to get $5,000 donations
The maximum, right?
Yes, that's correct. We could be looking at, could have been looking at $15,000.
Okay. And so we're going to move to not do this, and you feel that we can do the open house in a quality way with the $5,000 budgeted plus some unmatched number of outside contributions?
Yes, mostly from large businesses in Nevada that are close to the airport.
Huh. Well, good luck with that.
Any further questions or comments? If not, then we stand in need of a motion.
Uh, I move that the item number 2 on the list of action items be tabled indefinitely, which is a discussion of possible action to approve a $5,000 budget, which is now no longer required.
Hey, table or deny?
Deny.
I'm sorry, deny.
Okay, so the motion is to deny the $5,000 additional increment or budget augmentation. Do we have a second?
Second.
Is there any further discussion of the motion? Seeing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, if there be any? Seeing none, the motion carries unanimously. That concludes the agendized items.
Mr. Chairman, could I just note,
yes,
note for the record that the reason you have not called for public comment is there are no members of the public here. I think it's just important that our minutes reflect that, because you're always very good about asking for public comment. And if somebody watched the video and it was thinking that you were not asking for public comment, they might think that you would change the rules or something, but you have not.
I think while you were busy reading your papers, I did make that comment some notes back that there are no public in attendance, so it's just us. But thank you. That is worth repeating at any juncture that we can repeat it. Item G, Airport Engineers Report.
I don't have anything to report.
I love those kind of reports. Does anybody have a request, a question for Jim on his non-report? Okay, item G. Item H, Airport Managers Report. Tim.
Okay, as you can see from the handout that I gave everyone, we have been approved to install the obstruction lights on the hills east of the airport by BLM. But at this point in time, we have yet to receive anything from the FAA. I am going to send a copy of this handout to the Flight Procedures Office in Seattle. They requested it, and also to the ADO in Phoenix, Mike Williams, the manager, and Holly Dixon, our project manager, also requested copies, and they may be able to talk to the Flight Procedures Office in Oklahoma City on our behalf. We'll see how that goes. Again, I'm trying to be patient with the FAA, and if necessary, we will look at alternatives. Congressional delegation or whoever, if we need to, in the near future. But the good news is BLM came through, and we're all approved and ready to go with them.
Tim, is there anything that we need to do, I mean, with Oklahoma City beyond what those folks have done? Do we need to formally request a variance or anything like that? I mean, do we have anything that we have to initiate beyond what Seattle has asked us for and what our ADO has asked us for?
No, the Seattle Flight Procedures Office told me that this was a couple of days ago, that if the request is denied, that they will automatically request a variance. A waiver to see if they'll go ahead and do something with it. A waiver, what that'll entail is it will have to go before a board. They will discuss it. At that time, we want some heavy hitters to be talking to them at the same time. But we don't want to do that until we have to submit that waiver. And they're going, like I said, the Flight Procedures Office in Seattle have been doing really a wonderful job working with us, trying to get this going and get us approved. So I'm really happy that they have gone to bat for us. So, but we don't want to do anything right now until we know what we're facing.
Quick question. At our last meeting, when we talked about this, there was some concern raised about at Truckee Airport, night approaches being deauthorized. And I was wondering if there had been any additional information around that or a better understanding as to whether that actually was a bit foreboding for our prospects.
I don't know. The only thing that I know was that I was going in there at night was going to shoot the GPS, and they said you can't do it because it's not authorized anymore, and that was the previous Monday. They changed their minds about allowing night approaches. Having said that, they have beautiful obstruction lights surrounding the airport. They're not doing them any good, so I don't know. The criteria, as I was forewarned a couple of years ago, the criteria for approaches changes every 6 months, and there's no rhyme or reason for it. So obviously this criteria has changed again. So we don't know. We're just hopeful that we can get something going with the Flight Procedures Office and get this approved. So we just have to be patient with that.
Is there a way to get information from Truckee as to specifically what happened?
Yeah, I can call Kevin Smith and get an idea, and I'll email the authority when I find out.
Great.
Another thing that's come up is there's been a shortcut that was... There's a shortcut that has been formed due to vehicles going between the west side of the Carson Air Group and the Jet Ranch around the berm, and we've kind of overlooked it. However, and we actually I sent Gary over there to put some rock down to keep the dust down, just to kind of aid that. But it has become apparent that the taxi lane on both sides of that little road is starting to break up. So I've asked Gary to take some large rocks. We'll set up a sign on either end closing that. And the reason is we don't want to have to repair pavement. So give the authority a heads up as that's what we're planning to do. I'll get the word out via email to the tenants to let them know that we don't want them to do that anymore. Any questions?
Where is that located?
Basically right next to my hangar. And I don't really care. It was a great thing for me getting in and out of there. But there is actually, for Carson Air Group, the hangars, people have been dragging big trailers and everything through there. They have now hit the hangars and broken downspouts off the Carson Air Group hangars. So Carson Air Group, I guess, put up orange poles to keep people from hitting the corners of the buildings. But it's breaking up. The pavement's all breaking up over there now. There's also tons of rock and debris and FOD getting all over both taxi lanes. So we either need a center triangle road or we need to close that one off and let people continue to use the pieces of Bravo and Charlie like they were for many years. Because it's become not only a safety hazard, but it's going to become a big maintenance issue for us. So I would concur with what Tim says, as somebody who gets to look at it every day.
Would it be necessary to notify the tenants that you're closing at, just in case somebody thinks that's where they're supposed to be going?
If I don't, somebody will complain, wondering why I deny them access from their shortcut. So, yeah, I think it's a wise idea to let them know.
I think the sign there is a good idea.
Much of the traffic that runs through there is not Carson Air Group, but it's running down to the executive hangars to the south. So it wouldn't bother me to see that road blocked off, since they're tearing up our taxiway.
Could we go the other direction and have Jim officially put it on the airport map and then we pave it? I mean, I think I don't spend a lot of time in that section of the airport, but I'm familiar with the road, and I can see, you know, at first glance exactly why it's so convenient. And the question is there something that, you know, that long term we need to look at to provide it's one of those things that people will find a way to use because it's so obviously useful. Is there something that we need to at least be considering to create a road link over on the west side of those hangars to make that a good way to do it?
There always was on the master plan a center triangle access road. It's never been executed. We've never worked on it. But it goes from the old Civil Air Patrol building property through there, crosses Charlie, and goes paved road right into the center triangle and joins on whatever that, I can't remember what the designation for that taxi lane is. And at the time, the taxi lane that's in front of the Carson Air Group hangars was supposed to be widened 50 feet, and there was supposed to be access. All of those things are fairly expensive processes and, as I understand it, not grant fundable. So it's one of those, we'd love to do it, but we can't right now. So what we have to do in the meantime is be sure that we prevent the damage and potential liability.
At some point in the future, if we do get hangar development in that area, that will kind of take care of itself because whatever hangars will have to have access to the taxi lane, and that'll provide an automatic shortcut if people want to use it, I suppose. But at this point in time, we just can't afford the pavement. So,
well, in order to keep the heat off you, does the Airport Authority need to take an official action put on the agenda for next meeting in order to stop that?
No, I'm just going to drop rocks there, something big enough to where people will know that if they take their cars up against those rather large rocks that they'll lose.
And I wanted to mention that, yeah, we could put that on the ACIP and all of that, but it'd be a really low priority.
I think I'm kind of kidding. I drew it on my map.
We actually, I being that I was back here in 2000 when this whole thing was discussed and that taxi lane was originally produced, the decision of the authority at the time was the next developer to the west was going to be obligated to pay for widening that taxi lane and a road as part of their development plan. So the next builder will be obligated to do that, and that was because back in 2000, most of the paving over there was done by the developers. That was part of their development approval, was that they paid for the paving of taxi lanes, even if they weren't theirs. So, I mean, that was the plan at the time, and that was the way, because even then it was acknowledged that while it was potentially fundable, the odds of ever getting funding, you know, everybody's 50-year lease would have expired before the funding came through. So, anyway.
There is one more item that I would like to discuss. The chairman, last summer, I believe, we discussed about getting reimbursed for legal fees for any lease changes and other legal actions that might have been amendments to leases and things like that. It's costing us a lot of money to cover some of the things like the Wickersham lease. So I'd like to agendize for next for the next meeting, something worded in such a way that the airport will be reimbursed for any legal action that is taken by leaseholders or people coming in and wanting to start a new lease, hangar development, hangar lot line adjustments, that sort of thing. Things that cost us money in legal fees that is basically not in our or in somebody else's best interest, to put it simply.
Okay, then I think that's a good idea. I would also suggest that you include, if necessary, engineering as well, so that if we have to survey and do things for somebody wants a lot line adjustment or somebody wants us to do something beneficial to their lease that requires us to expend our professional service funds, then they should be charged back for that, just as they are for appraisals when they want to see about getting a piece of property. I think that's worth doing. So you can work with Steve for that. Anything further in your report?
That's it for me.
Any questions for Tim beyond those already asked? Morris.
Do you have an idea or can you make a projection what the rock sales are going to do going forward, since apparently construction's coming back and that? You had any conversation with those guys or anything?
4 years ago, I was very optimistic, or 3 years ago, I was very optimistic. The last 2 years, not really. However, having said that, the bypass is going to be going hot and heavy this year, and we I would like to be optimistic that we are going to move a lot of rock because of the bypass. There are people here that are with the city, I think, that the downtown might use some of our rock. So wherever we can sell it, we will.
In a discussion, Steve, you and I had that discussion. Were you ever able to look at their agreement? Because it seems to me there was something from when we first did the agreement with these guys that they were required, you know, they could spend whatever they wanted year to year, but it was somewhere in the fourth or fifth year that they actually had to start buying the stuff and taking it away.
I did not look that up. I apologize. I'll take a look at it in just a minute here and see if I can find it quickly. I did want to jump back to the reimbursement. Title 19 already provides for that. It's section 19.02.020.510 that says all applicants for FBO or other approvals on the airport shall reimburse the airport authority for its engineering costs and legal costs in reviewing and responding to such applications. So I don't know what, you know, if you wanted to put a specific action on for some specific amount or something, that'd be fine. But I think that right now Title 19 allows you to bill for that. So I think you could go ahead and do that.
Thank you. That's easier than creating a new rule.
Can we go ahead and once you completely research that, discuss that next month so we're all fully up to speed on what is and what is not allowed in that particular title?
You know, it's just one sentence. I don't know what else I would research on it. But it looks to me like it covers our legal and engineering costs. And so to the extent we have some that you can identify to a request for authority like Wickersham, which should be readily identified from both my time and Jim's time that we bill, I think you turn around and you turn that into an invoice and you just send it out.
And then
if there's an issue with that, my guess is it'll come back to you guys, and then you guys can chew on it.
Okay. Anything else for Tim? Legal counsel's report.
Yeah, I sent out a short update briefing this morning, or actually this afternoon, and the reason it's coming out now is because I'm trying to give you the most current information I have. The update briefing is on legislation, and there's actually been a lot of activity in the last 3 days. Have been a lot of activity, but even more so the last week. Both Monday, which was a holiday for most people, but not for the legislature, Tuesday and today, there's been some activity. Tuesday morning, members of the aviation industry made a presentation to the Senate Transportation Committee on the importance of aviation to Nevada, and they did a tremendous job. It was four people. It was a representative from the National Aviation Association, that's Stacy Howard, a representative from the Nevada Business Association, and I can't remember if it was Justine or if it was the guy who's the director. And then there was Bobby Thompson representing the Nevada Airports Association, and then Mark Gibbs, I think his name is, who's the manager of Elko Airport. And they were well received. They got good questions. It was a nice preview to the importance of aviation to both the economic and transportation needs of the state. And as a result, I think it provides a nice basis for legislation, which is coming up. So tomorrow at 3:30 in the afternoon, members of the legislature, namely Mark Hutchison, the lieutenant governor, and Assemblywoman Bustamante Adams are going to present SB 93. SB 93 is the bill that gives a tax abatement to aircraft parts. And the way it's structured, if your business makes an investment in Nevada to do aircraft repair, and there's some criteria on that investment, then you get the aviation, you get the parts with no tax on them. It essentially excludes them from tax. It's done as an abatement instead of a tax exemption for a variety of reasons, but you get to the same place. It has widespread support. It has strong support from the governor's office. And I don't know of any opposition. And in addition to that, the hearing that they're having tomorrow is a joint hearing between the Assembly Tax Committee and the Senate. Well, used to be called the Senate Tax Committee. They now call themselves the Revenue and Economic Development Committee. But the two tax committees essentially are hearing it as a joint hearing. And that doesn't happen that often. It happens when you have something that's of very great importance and maybe controversial, or it can happen with something that has great importance, but it's non-controversial and they want to get it done. And so the expectation is that it's going to move pretty quickly through the legislature and get to the governor's desk, and hopefully sooner rather than later, so you can get it in play and people can start making investments. There are two bills. One is a companion bill on the Assembly side. It's Assembly Bill 161. And the only difference between the bills that I can see is that a Senate bill guarantees the tax abatement for 20 years. The Assembly bill is softer, and it allows the tax for up to 10 years. I mean, it doesn't really guarantee it for 10 years, but it guarantees it for an amount, something 10 years or less. Obviously, we want to support the version, and I think pretty much everybody who's advocating its passage want to support the version that has a 20-year guarantee on the tax abatement, because if you're inviting businesses to make investments, you want to give them the opportunity to amortize that investment. And they're much more likely to make that investment if they can look at 20 years to amortize it than if they're looking at maybe 10 years. You know, that's not sending the right signal to the people you're trying to get to invest the money. We also we're successful, and the governor's budget includes a $100,000 allocation to the Nevada Aviation Trust Fund. That Nevada Aviation Trust Fund, those funds are distributed to airports to use as matching funds for the grants. And as a result, it's about a 20 times multiplier. So you put in $100,000, you end up with 20 times that in actual dollars that you can use to put into airport improvements, to build things, real employees, really employ Nevada workers and get construction, long-term construction done. That also has strong support from the governor. He's put it in the budget. So that has not appeared in a bill yet, but it probably won't. It'll probably just be in the budget when the budget finally is heard. And then there's another bill in there that came as a little bit of a surprise to me, because it just got turned from a BDR into a bill 2 days ago on Monday, and that's SB 125, and it asks the state to allocate $1 million a year to support commercial air service. And when you read through the criteria, it really is there to support ELCO. So it's got the support of two legislators. I don't know if it's going to go anyplace. It's not part of the governor's budget. I think it's pretty hard for people to come in, no matter what their cause is, and try and get additional money out of this current budget, because it's cut pretty thin, and I think there's going to be a lot of pressure from the legislature on the business license fee, which is substantial, to support that budget. But that came as a little surprise to me, because I didn't see that one coming. I didn't hear about that one. And the other problem with that, I think, too, is the $1 million, it's not like our FAA grants where you get this 20 times multiplier. They're asking for $1 million where basically they're going to put up 20% and the 80% is going to come from the state allocation. So I think Elko County's trying to look for ways to improve the air service, but they need somebody else's money, it looks like, to do it. I don't know. I don't give odds on stuff, but I think that this is they have a difficult task ahead of themselves to get that passed. There are still two PDRs, and as Member White asked me at the last meeting, we should just go ask the legislators what they're about. I've tried to run into both of the legislators that are there. It's very difficult to catch these people. Number one, they're actually working really hard from day one, and you know, I think a lot of people look at that and say, you know, usually they do a whole bunch of things, not important things, and then it waits, and then there's this crisis as you get to the end of the session. That's not what we're seeing. We're seeing them jump right into committees and process bills have their debates and push it on through if it's going to push through, or push it to the other house and maybe it dies, kind of like the voter ID bill and some of the gun bills already died. They're doing a lot, and the end result is you can't catch these guys. You have to catch them in the hallway. So you basically have to stake out the committee that they're in and hope that you can talk to them on their walk either to their next committee meeting or to their office or wherever they're going. So I haven't had a chance. I did learn from the other people on our lobby team and our law firm that both of these people will probably readily tell us what their bills are about, which is what Member White had suggested last month, and that one of the bills involves privacy on unmanned aircraft. And so I guess I'm very curious to hear what the privacy concerns are. You know, there's a lot of talk about, you know, is somebody using a drone to spy on me? And candidly, that's not the future of drones. That's not their economic use. That's a lot of people that I think are just paranoid about. You know, they hear the connotation of drone and they think about, you know, the predators and some of the other big military ones that we use actually to spy in other countries and to direct military action. And they somehow think that that's what's coming here. And that's not it at all. What we're really talking about here is we're talking about Amazon coming up with a process to deliver packages more efficiently, which, by the way, they've actually field tested at the Nevada test site. So that thing's moving along. And we're talking about some of the current jobs that use manned aircraft that, you know, the helicopter inspections of power lines, where it's fairly dangerous because of the monotony and because of the closeness that you are to the device, where unmanned aircraft are really the ideal solution. And so that's where it's going. But the privacy issue keeps popping up, and I understand that that's what one of these bills is about, so we'll find out more. That's all I have for my legal counsel report. But I will look up that contract on the rock removal and get back to you, because that's a good thought, because I know that we – I can't find it quickly. But I know that we did sign an agreement, and there is a time period – and there is a remediation that has to occur at the end. They have to take a certain amount, and then when they get done, they have to smooth it all out. They have to grade it. And the logic for that was because we want to make sure that if somebody lands short of the runway, they have a survivable terrain as opposed to a rock field, which was what it was. But now, I mean, if you look at it now, and you guys do, because I know you guys fly in and out of here, it's way better now than it was before. For the most part, unless you actually hit the rocky part, it looks like to me like it would be very survivable, you know, assuming you were able to softly put it down there. That's all I have for the legal counsel report.
Questions for Steve? Okay. Treasurer's report.
Okay. What we've done is this is all lumped into checking and savings and accounts receivable. For the next meeting, I will break those down as to actual land leases and how much of that money is available per year to be used from the Gonzales lease, the Contry lease. It appears to be over here in the budget, but I haven't looked at these numbers well enough to see where we're going to go. Okay, with that being said, our checking and savings and accounts receivable, current assets and other assets total $698,124.55. And I'll have a better accounting, like I said, of breakdown of this at the next meeting. That's it.
Questions for Steve? Seeing none. Report from authority members. I have one. I received a correspondence from the Sheriff's Aero Squadron. Apparently, they have a non-revenue lease with us, and as part of that non-revenue lease, they submit to us each year a balance sheet that says they're solvent, the city's funding them, and who their officers are and all that sort of stuff, and we keep it on file. Sorry about that, guys. But I turned that off. I'm going to pass this to Tim and ask him to include it in the file with their with their lease documents and access documents. Any questions on that from anybody? Does anyone else have anything in terms of correspondence or communications? Public comment. Members of the public may address the authority and may speak on items agendized or not. Comments limited 3 to 5 minutes. If your topic requires extended discussion, please request the chairman to calendar the matter for a future Airport Authority meeting. As has been noted several times throughout the meeting, no members of the public are present. Do any ghosts wish to speak? Agenda items for the next regular meeting. Does anybody have anything? The one item we do have is that we will be discussing the budget and adopting the tentative budget for next month's meeting, and that will be largely a workshop. We will attempt to confine the meeting to that unless any other urgent matters come up between now and then. Anyone else have anything else they want to comment on agenda for next month? We need a motion for adjournment.
So moved.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Adjournment.
Jim, do you have a couple minutes? Nothing long and hard.